you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, and hear from the minds transforming healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more with the help of AI. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Tracy from Stuff You Missed in History Class. Are you a small business owner or even someone who dreams of entrepreneurship? Then check out Season 2 of Mind the Business, small business success stories from iHeart Podcasts and Intuit QuickBooks. Join hosts Austin Hankwitz and Janice Torres as they interview entrepreneurs sharing insights around starting and nurturing a small business. You won't want to miss these inspiring stories of entrepreneurship and discovering ways to business differently so you can too. Looking to part ways with complicated, expensive, and uncertain shipping? Then give your business the edge it needs with USPS Ground Advantage shipping from the United States Postal Service. Keep everything simple with clear upfront pricing and no unexpected surcharges. Keep things affordable with some of the lowest prices out there. And keep it all reliable with on-time ground shipments. It's time to turn shipping to your advantage. Learn how at USPS.com/advantage. USPS Ground Advantage. Simple, affordable, reliable.
What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casual and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
Welcome to Stuff You Missed in History Class from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hello and welcome to the podcast. I'm Tracy B. Wilson.
And I'm Holly Fry.
We are now into part two of our now traditional Unearthed episodes, where we talk about all of the things that were brought up literally and figuratively in 2014. We know that you all are listening at the earliest in 2015, but we are recording it in 2014. So when we say this year, that's what we mean. This installment, we're starting with a random assortment of things that didn't really fit into any other category, followed by some medical unearthings, food and drinks, literature and letters, and we're going to end with so many people's favorite category, exhumations.
So starting off with the random stuff, a probable Rembrandt, which was stolen from a French museum during a Bastille Day celebration in 1999, was recovered this year when the man who had stolen it confessed. So when the robbery happened, the alarm went off when the thief entered the museum through a library door, but the authorities did not arrive in time to catch him. The painting is called L'Enfant à la Bulle de Savon, or Child with a Soap Bubble. There's some debate about whether it's actually a Rembrandt or just something that was painted after Rembrandt's style, but maybe its recovery means that we will finally get to find out.
On April 22nd, a man named Paul Unyaki unearthed a Viking-age figurine in Denmark while using a metal detector. He immediately contacted a museum, so good on you, Paul, for contacting authorities after finding something that seemed significant. The museum confirmed the age of the figure and started conservation measures on it. The figurine is really small, just 4.6 centimeters high, and it's notable because it has very detailed clothing. This basically makes it a new source of information about what the Vikings actually wore. And it's also kind of visually interesting because it has a three-dimensional head on a two-dimensional body. The figurine is wearing an ankle-length dress with long sleeves, and the dress itself has several different textures that are possibly meant to represent different fabrics. Her hair is pulled back in a very tight bun, and she has a piece of jewelry in the front of her dress that might indicate she's meant to represent the fertility goddess Freya.
Aerial photography helped researchers find the remains of two ancient Mayan cities in the Yucatan Peninsula. For one of the cities, it was actually a rediscovery. Archaeologist Eric von Yu visited in the 1970s and dubbed it Lagunita. But given the density of the jungle and the remoteness of the location, as well as the vagueness of von Yu's documentation, it couldn't be found again until more recently. But Lagunita is a facade with an entryway that's made to look as though it's a monster's mouth, which I find so sort of fabulous. This is a common theme in architecture of the time, and this particular example is very well preserved. The other city, known as Tamchin, probably existed at about the same time as Lagunita.
Also this year, archaeologists working at Hadrian's Wall found a 2,000-year-old wooden toilet seat, perfectly preserved in a muddy trench. Although other digs have unearthed plenty of Roman latrines and other toilet artifacts, Dr. Andrew Burley, who's the director of excavations there, said he had never seen a perfectly preserved wooden toilet seat before. He said that it looked pretty comfortable. He was also hopeful that they would be able to find the latrine that went with it, since, in his words, as reported to the BBC, quote, "Roman loos are fascinating places to excavate. Their drains often contain astonishing artifacts." Dr. Burley also said that he was looking forward to reading the text of a Roman stylus wax tablet that was also found at Hadrian's Wall this year. In this case, he told the BBC, "If we're really lucky, the person using the seat will have had verbal diarrhea, and we will be able to get their personal thoughts about life 1900 years ago." So, I'd really like to meet this Dr. Burley because he sounds like a character.
That's like the thing that was unearthed that's most exciting to Tracy, is that we now know about this gentleman who does research and sounds hilarious. In other poop news, archaeologists in Odense on the island of Funen in Denmark found several latrine barrels dating back to the 1300s. More notable than the barrels themselves is that they still contain what latrines are built to contain. So the team hopes that the contents of these barrels will help shed some light on the dietary habits of 14th century Danes. And for people local to the area, at least at that point, you could take a free tour of the dig site on Tuesdays and Thursdays.
In April, a documentary film crew dug up a landfill in New Mexico where Atari had purportedly dumped millions of copies of the overwhelmingly unsuccessful video game E.T. the Extraterrestrial in 1983. The film crew did find many copies of the game, but not quite the millions rumored to be buried there. They also found various other Atari video game detritus. I included that mostly because the long-held E.T. lore that video game kind of tickles me.
Yeah. And it's one of those things that I think the number has grown over the years. You know, I think it used to be, I remember hearing it once very early on as like hundreds of thousands, and it has slowly ballooned up to millions of cartridges.
It ballooned to the point that there's a page about it at Snopes.com.
Yeah.
So we're going to take a brief break for a word from a sponsor and then talk about some medical things that were unearthed this year.
I'm Tracy V. Wilson from Stuff You Missed in History Class. Did you know small businesses make up 99.9% of all businesses in the United States? The world is powered by entrepreneurs, and if you're a small business owner or even someone dreaming of starting your own business, then you'll want to check out Season 2 of Mind the Business, small business success stories from Ruby Studio, from iHeartMedia, and Intuit QuickBooks. And every episode, hosts Austin Hankwitz and Janice Torres talk to entrepreneurs about how they've grown from the lessons of launching and nurturing a small business, and how they have found success being their own boss. From the excitement of first starting out to finding the right tools and resources to process invoices and payments like QuickBooks Money, you won't want to miss these inspiring stories of entrepreneurship and discovering ways to business differently so you can too. And if you're a small business owner or even someone dreaming of starting your own business, then you'll want to check out Season 2 of Mind the Business, small business success stories from Ruby Studio, from iHeartMedia, and Intuit QuickBooks. Planning your next trip? Choice Hotels has a stay for any traveler you want to be with 22 brands and over 7,400 locations. Whether you're a business traveler, a family road tripper, someone who wants to seek out history and maybe make your own, or just planning a quick getaway, Choice Hotels has a stay for any you. Like a Cambria Hotel, where you can be a cocktail connoisseur and sip locally inspired craft beverages at downtown locations in the center of it all. This is a fun way to visit cities with a lot of history and a lot of fun in mind. Or a Radisson Hotel for all our productivity powerhouses out there. With flexible workspaces and on-site restaurants, you'll get the most out of your work trip. You'll get the coffee, the Wi-Fi, and the work done. And we can't forget about comfort hotels. Imagine you're a family road tripper waking up in your big spacious room and then heading down to a free hot breakfast for the entire family, including waffles. So you'll be well-fed and ready for the day's adventure, even if that's just relaxing. After that, you're spending all afternoon relaxing by the pool. You deserve it. What are you waiting for? Join Choice Privileges and start earning points toward your next stay. Find a stay for any you. Book directly at choicehotels.com, where travels come true.
Looking to part ways with complicated, expensive, and uncertain shipping? Then give your business the edge it needs with USPS Ground Advantage shipping from the United States Postal Service. Keep everything simple with clear upfront pricing and no unexpected surcharges. Keep things affordable with some of the lowest prices out there. And keep it all reliable with on-time ground shipments. It's time to turn shipping to your advantage. Learn how at USPS.com/advantage. USPS Ground Advantage. Simple, affordable, reliable.
When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast from Ruby Studio in partnership with Intel. Explore the future of technology that's rapidly evolving our world today with the help of AI. There is still so much work and research needed to fully understand the power and potential of AI, and Intel is at the forefront of implementing AI in revolutionary technology that's changing the world we live in for the better. In each episode, Graham interviews the minds transforming medicine and healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more, while pioneering new uses for AI in these spaces. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Now we will get back to our lovely unearthing. So, the first of our medical unearthings is only tangentially medical. While testing the area in preparation for building a new parking facility, the University of Mississippi Medical Center found that the site contained at least 1,000 bodies. This wasn't at all the first time that a burial site has been found on the University of Mississippi campus. Anthropological study is ongoing on other remains that have already been unearthed before this discovery. These particular bodies are believed to have been patients at the Mississippi State Lunatic Asylum. The asylum opened in 1855 and housed 150 people. The school considered reburying the bodies elsewhere to make room for the parking facility, but they estimated that it would cost about $3,000 per body or $3 million total. So expansion plans were put on hold. And I could not find an update about exactly where things stood with that discovery as of right now, as whether they've decided to continue and rebury the bodies elsewhere or change their construction plans or exactly what.
And it's entirely possible that that whole thing is bogged down in paperwork somewhere and there is nothing to discover. Scientists extracted DNA from the tooth of someone who died in the Justinian plague in the year 541. Unlike several other historical plagues, there really hadn't been very much medical or biological research on the Justinian plague. But then, housing developers found a burial site near Munich. And as they examined the evidence, the team figured out that many of the peoples in the burial site had been buried together, which was, of course, very common during plague events. And they eventually narrowed it down to the Justinian plague. A team led by evolutionary biologist David Wagner at Northern Arizona University determined that the plague had jumped from rodents to people and that it was, in fact, different from the Black Death.
During a rehabilitation project at New York City Hall, a team unearthed an artifact that archaeologists thought was maybe a needle holder or perhaps a spice grinder at first. It's about a 3-inch long cylinder with holes in the top made from a mammal bone, and it dates sometime back to the early 1800s. It was actually found back in 2010, but it wasn't until this year that anthropology student Lisa Geiger published her findings identifying what it actually was. She drew her conclusions thanks to a stint as a docent at the famous Mutter Museum. It turns out that this was not a needle holder or a spice grinder. It was, quote, a vaginal syringe, which was used for douching. Given that this item was found in a big garbage pile that also included the remnants of what looked like a giant celebration, so there was lots of food and lots of liquor, the suspicion is that this was likely brought with a guest and used as a contraceptive or for STD prevention. And just as a heads up, that would not have been effective. Do not rely on such a thing for birth control or STD prevention.
Tracy's public service announcement.
Yeah, I'm just taking a page from Stuff Mom Never Told You for a moment. That would not work.
In March, researchers announced that they'd revived a giant virus from the Siberian permafrost and that it was still infectious. You may remember seeing these headlines and people saying that this is how the zombie apocalypse was going to start. So the virus is much larger than normal, almost as large as a small bacterium, and it affects amoeba. They named it Pythovirus sibiricum, with pytho coming from the Greek word for a large container that's used to store food or wine. Normally, viruses are extremely compact, but this one contains lots of empty space, which prompted evolutionary biologist Jean-Michel Clavery to say, quote, "We don't understand anything anymore."
The quotes from the researchers are some of my favorite things.
I know. They're pretty fabulous.
So now we have three things that are in the realm of food and drink. Divers brought up a bottle marked Seltzers from a shipwreck that is known as F-3331. And this is a cargo vessel that sank not far off the Polish coast. So in the original reports, this was believed to have been a German luxury mineral water. Seltzers was a known brand of exactly that thing in the early 1800s. But later on, they figured out that what was in the bottle was actually alcohol, probably vodka or gin, which was reported to be drinkable, but not necessarily good.
In Egypt, while doing a routine cleaning in another tomb, a Japanese team led by Jiro Kondo of Waseda University stumbled across a completely different, previously unknown burial place, that of Khonso Imheb, the head of beer production for the court of Amenhotep III. It's a T-shaped tomb with a burial chamber in two halls, and it also includes a painting showing the whole process of grain fermentation and presenting the finished product to the mother goddess Mut. It's more than 3,000 years old.
U.S. archaeologists also found what they believe to be a precursor to Chianti while doing an excavation in Tuscany. Down at the bottom of a 105-foot-deep well, they found bronze vessels, cups, coins, and all kinds of other stuff. The various depths of the well include artifacts that span a 1,500-year time span. So, really lots of different layers of things going down deeply into this well. Included at three different levels are some very well-preserved grape seeds. The findings confirm that there were at least three kinds of grapes in use during Roman and Etruscan times in the area, and researchers are looking into whether the way they are used might be similar to the proportions of Chianti, which is a 70-15-15 mix of three different types of grape.
And now we are moving on to the arena of unearthed elements in literature and letters. So this first one is not really a discovery, but it is a release. The John F. Kennedy Presidential Library and Museum in Boston released a number of letters from the personal papers of Jacqueline Kennedy Onassis this year. And that's a collection of about 22,000 letters, postcards, and other pieces of mail. In particular, the newly released documents include condolence letters after the assassination of John F. Kennedy. Also included were the responses sent to each letter, which were handled by the First Lady's personal secretaries. One particularly sweet note is from a 10-year-old Louisiana girl who said, "I think you're the nicest lady in the whole world. I mean it, too."
I love that.
It's so sweet.
It's particularly sweet because your is misspelled as Y-O-U-R, which is charming in a 10-year-old's note.
Yes.
A scrap of paper with Jane Austen's handwriting on it was found tucked into a book at the Jane Austen's home museum. This is probably a fragment of one of her brother's sermons, and it says, quote, "Men may get into a habit of repeating the words of our prayers by rote, perhaps without thoroughly understanding, certainly without thoroughly feeling their full force and meaning." The scrap is dated 1814, which is when Austen was working on Mansfield Park, and it has some similar religious themes to some things that are in the book. There's also some illegible writing on the back that the discoverers are hoping to be able to restore.
Fragments of two poems by Sappho were unearthed from a private collection this year. It was very serendipitous. The person who owned the papyrus asked Oxford classicist Dirk Abink about the Greek writing on the papyrus, and he immediately recognized its importance. Sappho was a tremendously influential poet in her time, but only one complete poem by her has actually survived until today. Sappho lived in the 7th century BCE, and this piece of papyrus dates to the 2nd or 3rd century CE. This find brings the total known poems by Sappho to 6.
In February, Dr. Jian Yang visited St. John's College, University of Cambridge, from China. And while he was there, he discovered that a small volume of music that had been held in the university's rare books collection was really a priceless document detailing pre-modern Chinese musical history. This is possibly a completely unique find in the world. The book was originally purchased in China in 1804 by the Reverend James Inman, who brought it back home with him to Britain. It's believed to have been printed in China around 1770, and Inman donated all of his books to St. John's College after becoming a fellow there. The book contains an introduction to 3 different Chinese instruments, which are a flute, a lute, and a recorder, as well as 13 different pieces of music. The entire notation that's used is something that has not been really well documented, or surviving documentation has not lasted until now. So it gives a huge amount of information about Chinese musical history that we didn't have before.
So cool. A previously unknown Shakespeare first folio was authenticated in France this year, so that brings the total number of known first folios to 233. So for the non-Shakespeare buffs in the crowd, the first folio is the first publication of the collected works of Shakespeare. It's considered to be the most reliable text for many of Shakespeare's plays, and this one is in excellent condition, which is surprising considering that until this year, librarians at the public library where it was housed thought it was a very old, but not particularly exceptional, Shakespearean edition. And that was in part because the title page and introductory material were missing. However, it caught the eye of Rémy Cordonnier, the director of the library's medieval and early modern collection, who thought that it could in fact be a first folio. It's planned that it will be put on display in Saint-Omer, where it was found, next year.
Before we get into the favorite topic of exhumations, let's take another brief moment for a word from a sponsor.
I'm Tracy V. Wilson from Stuff You Missed in History Class. Did you know small businesses make up 99.9% of all businesses in the United States? The world is powered by entrepreneurs, and if you're a small business owner or even someone dreaming of starting your own business, then you'll want to check out Season 2 of Mind the Business, small business success stories from Ruby Studio, from iHeartMedia, and Intuit QuickBooks. And every episode, hosts Austin Hankwitz and Janice Torres talk to entrepreneurs about how they've grown from the lessons of launching and nurturing a small business, and how they have found success being their own boss. From the excitement of first starting out to finding the right tools and resources to process invoices and payments like QuickBooks Money, you won't want to miss these inspiring stories of entrepreneurship and discovering ways to business differently so you can too. And if you're a small business owner or even someone dreaming of starting your own business, then you'll want to check out Season 2 of Mind the Business, small business success stories from Ruby Studio, from iHeartMedia, and Intuit QuickBooks.
Planning your next trip? Choice Hotels has a stay for any traveler you want to be, with 22 brands and over 7,400 locations. Whether you're a business traveler, a family road tripper, someone who wants to seek out history and maybe make your own, or just planning a quick getaway, Choice Hotels has a stay for any you. Like a Cambria Hotel, where you can be a cocktail connoisseur and sip locally inspired craft beverages at downtown locations in the center of it all. This is a fun way to visit cities with a lot of history and a lot of fun in mind. Or a Radisson Hotel for all our productivity powerhouses out there. With flexible workspaces and on-site restaurants, you'll get the most out of your work trip. You'll get the coffee, the Wi-Fi, and the work done. And we can't forget about comfort hotels. Imagine you're a family road tripper waking up in your big spacious room and then heading down to a free hot breakfast for the entire family, including waffles. So you'll be well-fed and ready for the day's adventure, even if that's just relaxing. After that, you're spending all afternoon relaxing by the pool. You deserve it. What are you waiting for? Join Choice Privileges and start earning points toward your next stay. Find a stay for any you. Book directly at choicehotels.com, where travels come true.
Looking to part ways with complicated, expensive, and uncertain shipping? Then give your business the edge it needs with USPS Ground Advantage shipping from the United States Postal Service. Keep everything simple with clear upfront pricing and no unexpected surcharges. Keep things affordable with some of the lowest prices out there. And keep it all reliable with on-time ground shipments. It's time to turn shipping to your advantage. Learn how at usps.com/advantage. USPS Ground Advantage. Simple, affordable, reliable.
When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast from Ruby Studio in partnership with Intel. Explore the future of technology that's rapidly evolving our world today with the help of AI. There is still so much work and research needed to fully understand the power and potential of AI, and Intel is at the forefront of implementing AI in revolutionary technology that's changing the world we live in for the better. In each episode, Graham interviews the minds transforming medicine and healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more, while pioneering new uses for AI in these spaces. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
So now we will wrap things up by talking about some exhumations. And this is, of course, not all of the exhumations. Tracy had not yet set up her Google alert for exhumations until partway through the year. So she's got a pretty significant list that she's compiled, but not necessarily comprehensive.
No, there it's similarly with the rest of it. There would not be room for every single one. So Oliver Cromwell's body was exhumed in 1661 for a, quote, posthumous execution. They basically, after he had died and been buried, drew and quartered him and other things to his body. At that time, a brass plate that had been placed on his chest was taken by one of the officials who was present, and then that plate was passed down through the generations, and then it was sold at auction in December of this year, which is why we are talking about it, for £74,500, or €94,965. Neither the person it eventually was passed down to, nor the person who bought it was named, which is common practice for Sotheby's, which is who handled the auction. The plate itself is inscribed with a coat of arms, the dates of Cromwell's birth and death, and his coronation. And then in Latin, quote, "Here is buried Oliver Cromwell, protector of the Republic of England, Scotland, and Ireland," which is a statement that the people of Ireland would, by and large, find issue with.
I'm surprised you didn't mention that his head is elsewhere and we don't know where.
Yeah, his head is elsewhere. We don't know where. The fate of his body after he was posthumously executed is kind of hard to substantiate.
Yeah, allegedly some people know where the head is. There has been some back and forth among the governments of Great Britain, Argentina, and the Falkland Islands in recent weeks about the potential exhumations of 123 unidentified bodies buried in Darwin Cemetery in the Falklands. These are the bodies of Argentinian soldiers who died between April and June of 1982 when Argentina invaded the Falkland Islands, which Britain claimed as its territory. The result was the Falklands War. The Independent reported that Argentina was set to exhume 100 bodies. Argentina said the decision to exhume was extremely personal and it would be left to the families. And the Falkland Islands government said that it had not received a request to actually do any of this. So, as of right now, this whole situation is unresolved as far as our information goes.
Yes, there is clearly still tension between Britain and Argentina on the subject of the Falkland Islands. In November, Kentucky State Police exhumed the body of an unidentified 1969 murder victim. The woman's badly decomposed body was found by a man picking flowers for his wife in June of that year. Officials are hoping to find a match through CODIS, which is the Combined DNA Index System. They call the murder an ongoing cold case and are particularly interested in it because no one has come forward to say this might be my relative in the time since the murder happened, which is a little unusual. I mean, there are frequently unidentified bodies, but not as frequently unidentified bodies with literally no one speculating that that might be their loved one.
Prague announced that it would pay for the exhumation of Joseph Tufar, who was a Roman Catholic priest who died after being interrogated and tortured. So while Tufar was giving a sermon in December of 1949, several witnesses said they saw an iron cross behind him move on its own several times. And when word got back to the government of, at that time, Czechoslovakia, of this purported miracle, Tufar was arrested and tortured until he said that he had orchestrated it. It then became a tool to try to discredit the Catholic Church and oppress Roman Catholics in Czechoslovakia. So this exhumation is in part for the beatification process.
And to close things out, in probably the most weirdly romantic exhumation of the year, Frédéric Chopin's heart. So when Chopin died, he asked for his heart to be removed from his body and buried in Poland. And it was, after being sealed in a jar of liquor, which his sister smuggled into Warsaw, probably under her dress. Since then, his heart has been passed from relative to relative, buried, dug up, buried again. All this while, the rest of his body was at Père Lachaise Cemetery in Paris. So in April, a number of officials, including the Archbishop of Warsaw, the culture minister, and two scientists, gathered at Holy Cross Church in Warsaw, where they removed the heart from its secret resting place, inspected it, took photos, and sealed the jar with wax to make sure that its liquor-preserved contents did not evaporate and dry out. Then they put the heart back where it was. This was, in part, to try to figure out whether Chopin really died of tuberculosis. And it happened now because people were afraid and, you know, convinced officials that it was a real possibility that the liquor might evaporate out of the jar and destroy the heart. Officials plan to repeat this inspection in another 50 years. And they also didn't say anything about it for months. They did it completely in secret in the middle of the night. Very hush-hush.
That's how all good exhumations go.
Often they are in the middle of the night to avoid onlookers, but this one was particularly secret. So that is our unearthing for 2014.
So in 2064, we can look forward to another Chopin's heart discussion.
Yes. I wonder what podcasting will be like in 2064.
Do you also have some listener mail for us?
I do. And this one is just kind of a charming story. She also has lots of episode suggestions, but I'm gonna stick with the charming story. This is from Jeannie, who says, "Dear Tracy and Holly, I greatly appreciate your podcast and am a faithful listener. I'm also the mother of a young daughter and history buff. She and I often listen to your podcast together, and I thought you might enjoy knowing the extent to which she absorbs and thinks about your words. We listened to your Good King Wenceslas episode last winter, and then several weeks later she said to me, 'I think I know who the stranger was that King Wenceslas wanted to help.' I replied, 'Oh, really? Who?' She said, 'Ötzi.' Imagine my surprise. I tried to keep a straight face as she explained to me that Utsi was walking in the snow looking for food and fuel, and King Wenceslas and his page were the last to see him alive before his pursuers found him and killed him. I was glad to learn that the king survived, because who needs that kind of political instability? We also greatly enjoyed your episode on Chinese bookbinding, and it has led to some interesting discussions about sexism, racism, and tradition. That episode is also, to this day, the one I find most stomach-turning, even more than the mummification episode, which my daughter has practically memorized.
That made me laugh so hard when I read it, and I feel like I should apologize to this mother for having to listen to those gory details over and over.
Yeah. The Utsi episode and the Good King Wenceslas episode are from before our time, but this story is so delightful.
It really is.
I wanted to share it. And it also seems like a good closeout for, like, the year-end holiday season episodes for 2014, even though the earliest you could be hearing this is 2015. So, if you would like to write to us about this or any other thing, you can. We're at historypodcast@howstuffworks.com. We're also on Facebook at facebook.com/MissedInHistory and on Twitter at MissedInHistory. Our Tumblr is missedinhistory.tumblr.com, and we're on Pinterest at pinterest.com/MissedInHistory. We also have a Spreadshirt store in which we are hoping that we now have an awesome shirt that says, I love exhumations.
Really, it's I heart exhumations.
Yeah, that is true. It's pretty great. So we're hopeful that that's there now. If not, it will be there soon. If you would like to learn more about what we have talked about today, you can come to our parent company's website, that is howstuffworks.com, and put the word Shakespeare in the search bar. You are going to find top 10 rare books, which includes the Shakespeare First Folio. You can also come to our website, which is missedinhistory.com, to find show notes about all of our episodes and an archive of all of the episodes and occasional other posts about other stuff. I have recently put one up that includes all the ways to contact us and which ones are the most reliable. So, you can do all of that and a whole lot more at howstuffworks.com and missedinhistory.com.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit howstuffworks.com.
Hello there. I'm Ann Thompson, editor-at-large for IndieWire.
And I'm IndieWire's deputy film editor, Ryan Latanzio.
And we're the co-hosts of IndieWire's weekly Screen Talk podcast.
Join us each week for an in-depth discussion of the latest in film and TV industry news, with special guests along the way, including filmmakers and executives.
Hear from us every Friday morning on iHeart platforms or wherever you get your podcasts, as IndieWire shares what we've learned from the movie week that was.
This is Malcolm Gladwell from Revisionist History. eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Brake kits, LED headlights, whatever you need, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feeling Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
The wait is almost over. Get ready for the 2024 NFL season as the full schedule is announced. Every rivalry, every rematch, every rookie debut, every game revealed. The 2024 NFL schedule release, presented by Verizon, coming in May. Live on NFL Network, ESPN2, and streaming on NFL Plus. Terms and conditions apply to NFL Plus. Visit NFL.com/schedule release to learn more.